This episode is sponsored by porkbun.com. Porkbun is a refreshingly different domain name registrar that's different from the other ones like GoDaddy or Namecheap. They've got low prices on hundreds of different domain extensions. They've got everything from .com domains to really cool ones like .pro, .dev, .xyz. Every domain name at Porkbun comes with tons of freebies too, like SSL certificate, Whois privacy, DNS, URL forwarding, and hosting trials. Because why pay for things that should be free, right? All these incredible features and tools are backed by incredible support, 365 days a year, and more five-star reviews on Trustpilot from real customers than anyone else. Look, you can get $1 off your next domain name from Porkbun and see why they're the best domain name registrar around by using our code. Just go to porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. That's porkbun, porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. You'll save $1 on your next domain.
As AI continues to revolutionize our world, there's a critical conversation we can't ignore: AI safety and security. And that's where HackerOne's AI red teaming comes into play, rigorously testing AI models to prevent them from being misled or exploited. HackerOne employs over 2 million ethical hackers, and 750 of them specialize in prompt hacking and other AI security and testing. So HackerOne isn't just theorizing, they're actively safeguarding AI's future. Just recently, a team unearthed over 100 vulnerabilities in just 2 weeks. So whether you're at the helm of a startup or steering product innovation at a large company, it's time to prioritize AI security. Visit HackerOne.com/AI for more. Again, HackerOne.com/AI.
This episode is brought to you by Gigantic. At Gigantic, you can level up your product skills through live, small group, cohort-based trainings. We're incredibly excited to welcome you to our next cohort of our product strategy training, kicking off in January of 2024. This course will take you through the frameworks that product leaders use at companies like eBay, DoorDash, Groupon, Rent the Runway, in order to scale their teams. It's taught by Ben Foster, a friend of this podcast, who is the former chief product officer at Whoop. So come join us. Go to gigantic.is. That's gigantic.is. And save your seat for our January cohort. Your potential is gigantic, and we're here to help you reach it. Go to gigantic.is to reserve your seat today.
And if you want, you can even have that be in the pirate theme. It like starts to look like a scroll.
Welcome to the Rocket Ship Podcast. I'm Michael Sacca.
I'm Joelle Steiniger.
And I'm Matt Goldman.
And we're having 20-minute talks with entrepreneurs teaching you how to launch your product into revenue.
Check out our book at howtobuildarocketship.com to reserve your launch discount and to download a free chapter. Today we talked with Carolyn Koprasch, the Chief Happiness Officer at Buffer. We learned all about how they've grown their support team out to 9 people and the unconventional ways in which they've scaled their support. We also learned how they use Help Scout to process hundreds of job applications every single month. Enjoy.
CodeShip makes continuous deployment simple and easy. Go to codeship.com/rocketship to get a free trial and 20% off 3 months.
We'd also like to thank Envision App. Envision is by far the best prototyping and collaboration tool on the market. Go to envisionapp/rocketship to get the starter plan free for 90 days. Welcome to the Rocket Ship Podcast. We're here with Carolyn Koprasch, the Chief Happiness Officer at Buffer. Carolyn, welcome.
Thanks so much. I'm so excited to be here.
Yes, absolutely. So are we. So tell us what Chief Happiness Officer mean at Buffer.
Sure. So Buffer is a social media application for posting, scheduling posts to social media for businesses and individuals, and tracking the analytics of your posts so that you can kind of learn what's doing well and what you can improve on and what type of information and content you're audience enjoys. And we have a web application and an iPhone application and an Android and Buffer for Mac and all these different ways that you can use the product. So we have a support team here that answers all the questions and emails and tweets and that kind of thing that come in from people who are learning how to use the product. So Chief Happiness Officer just is, you know, it's kind of a silly way of saying that I lead that team, and we're a team of eight plus me. So those people, they're called Happiness Heroes. If you've ever interacted with Buffer, hopefully you've spoken to a Happiness Hero.
So you're the team behind the @Buffer Twitter account?
Exactly. Yep. Nice. And hello@bufferapp.com email address.
Very cool. So you guys also are the ones that take in the applications when you're hiring, right?
Yes.
So talk to us a little bit about what that process looked like on your end.
Sure. Yeah. So I take in all the applications for anyone on the happiness team. We had originally tried to think about hiring someone for hiring. But it makes a lot more sense when you've done the job and you know what the team is like and, you know, the culture of the whole company and that sort of thing. So I take in all the applications for the happiness team. Sunil, our CTO, takes in applications for the engineering team and that kind of thing, and so on. And we use Help Scout as just kind of the tool for all things. We use that for email already for our support email. So it was a natural extension to use that for our hiring as well. And so any applications that come in there, we just respond right through Help Scout.
And the way that Help Scout works is that you can set up a different email address and it gets put into its own mailbox. So you have a mailbox for every single job position.
Exactly.
And how many, on average, how many applications do you get for the positions now?
Ooh, that's a good one. Well, right now they're down just because we've just made a couple hires. And so when they're down, you know, people still reach out to us and say, I think I'd like to talk to you. What's an email address I can contact? And so we get, you know, a few dozen of those a month. But when they're up, it goes more into the hundreds. I think it's usually in like the 400 per month range.
Wow. So what led you to Help Scout? What were you doing before that, before you found the way that you like?
Well, before, poor Leo, our COO, was just kind of managing it from his own inbox. When I applied, which was a few years ago now, I just I saw a tweet, and the tweet just said, email Leo. So I did that, and obviously that didn't scale. We got, you know, a hundred or so applications then, and even that was a lot for one person in one inbox. So we quickly switched over to Help Scout because we use that for support anyway, and we love it. So it keeps things really neat, and you can see if somebody has emailed before, which is super useful. So yeah, that was the natural extension after poor Leo's Gmail.
So I don't think it's any secret that culture is a huge thing with you guys. It's kind of ingrained in who you are and why everyone loves Buffer. You're welcome. Something that you mentioned when we were talking before that I didn't know was how much emphasis you guys really put on hiring people that use the product and have used it for a while. Can you talk a little bit about that and how that kind of fits into your process?
Sure. Yeah. So that's kind of probably the best hiring hack we've learned is that it makes a lot of sense to hire your customers because then they can really relate to your customers. I mean, that's really simple, but it's kind of really all it comes down to. So people will, you know, be able to say, oh, I actually experienced that question when I came on board. That's a great question. Or I totally understand what you're trying to do here. Here's how I approached it. So that's really useful. And it also, I mean, on a more sort of tactical level, it helps a lot with training because when somebody has used your product before, you're not really starting from the beginning with training. So people can ramp up a lot faster and, you know, we bring people on board and they start answering emails on their first day, which is really great. Yeah, so that's been a really awesome piece of it. And also kind of like you mentioned, people who are users of Buffer often have some exposure to our culture and kind of who we are and what we believe and what our values are. And that's really the most important thing with hiring as well. So that kind of makes that a little bit, that process of getting to know us a little bit simpler for the applicant.
So what are some of the other signals that you guys look at when looking to hire applicants?
Oh, that's a good one. Well, there's a couple things that are sort of just tactical again, like being a Buffer user for a long time and being a Twitter user, because that's the majority of, you know, the majority of our customers have a Twitter account. And so that's useful to be able to speak to your knowledge there, not just on, you know, what an ad mention is and if how you Buffer a retweet, but even strategy on Twitter. So that's kind of more from the checkbox side. And then a little bit tougher to necessarily automatically know, is the culture side. So, we have 10 values that we're pretty committed to and pretty vocal about. So yeah, we definitely encourage people to go there. And, you know, if you feel like you would be at home in a place that operates under complete transparency, which has a lot to do with your personal side too. You know, we wear a jawbone up and we share our steps and our sleep with each other. So, if that kind of thing freaks you out, then this wouldn't be the place for you. And, you know, we talk about self-improvement constantly. And if you think that's kind of lame, then it wouldn't really be the place for you either. So, that's kind of what we look for, is people who feel really at home and really excited about those values and, you know, want to be in a place where the culture is sort of based on self-improvement and transparency.
So then how do you see that in an applicant beyond them just saying that they would enjoy working at a company with those values?
Yeah, that's a good start. I guess you just have to, a lot of times you have to take people on their word for some of it. You know, people who have a commitment to self-improvement often have examples of that, and that's really useful. Another really simple one is just how you talk to people on Twitter. You know, people who are pretty positive and focusing on helping people learn and that kind of thing tend to fit in a lot better than somebody who maybe isn't quite as positive on Twitter. So that's a really easy way, you know, not only how do you present yourself to me right now when you're in an application, but also how do you present yourself to the world and what are the choices that you make every day? So that's a pretty easy way to do it. And obviously a huge majority of the job is over email. So how they email us is pretty important. That's pretty key.
So I think we were talking to the You Need a Budget guys about hiring support people. Mm. And one of the ways that one of the parts of their application was to ask you, I think it was them, was to ask you how you would respond to a customer, an angry customer. They had a sample email and asked you to draft a response.
Sure.
And originally they thought that the proper response was very obvious, but they see a lot of people answer it in either a rude way or just not the right way that they're looking for. Mm. Is there something like that where you, how else do you judge the effectiveness of a new support person once you're beyond the culture fit?
Yeah, definitely. We do that. Yes. We ask people to answer hypothetical customer emails, exactly as you said. You know, here's a couple tweets, how would you approach these? And here's a couple emails. And, kind of like you said, there's a lot of ways that you can do it that are really sort of what we expect. And then there's ways to go above and beyond. And so we look for those. And you know, some people prefer to address really happy people in a different way than they approach really unhappy people. And, you know, do they make that decision based on something that you think we would do? And, you know, it's kind of like, would they fit in with what we're looking for here? But yeah, writing is such a huge part of it that we definitely have a test for that.
So digging a little deeper into your actual support process, how do you guys keep up with, you know, how do you scale up the service that you give as you grow and keep the quality up? And what little like tricks or hacks have you figured out to focus on the most urgent things first?
Oh yeah, that's a good one. So we have a couple different ways that we sort of approach our support. I'll take a step back for a second and talk a little bit about sort of how we believe we should be meeting our customers. And so we try to have sort of a consistent tone across the board. And we actually have a tone guide. I don't know if it's interesting at all. It's at bufferapp.com/tone-guide. And what that is just, you know, sort of talking about is how we like to approach the way we, you know, the whole world. So that includes our customers that we're talking to one-to-one. It includes our customers when we're talking in a mass email. It includes you know, how we write error messages in our application. And so that kind of thing is all, you know, it's all based on How to Win Friends and Influence People, which is kind of the book that our entire culture is based on. So that's kind of from a big perspective, how we attempt to do this. Of course, we fail all the time. And
nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. And so kind of the part B of that is just that we talk about it constantly. We have, you know, emails constantly going around about, you know, I had this situation. How could I have approached it better? This was the email. I missed this point. I did this wrong. And also, hey, this customer was really unhappy and she left really happy. And she, you know, told me that, you know, she was going to name her first child after me, which of course has never actually happened. But, you know, so here's how that conversation went and what can we learn from this? And what was the right point that we said, let's get off this email and just get on a call. And so basically we just talk about it constantly, which is kind of how we've kept up, the learning amongst the whole team. So I think that was part one of your conversation, of your question. Part two was how we sort of addressed urgency. Is that right? Cool. Well, I find that people often will often send off a tweet when they're super anxious about an answer. So we have really, really ambitious goals for Twitter. And we try to get on those as fast as possible. And the program that we use for monitoring Twitter, which is Spark Central, which we think they're great. You can sort it by newest or oldest. So in an ideal situation, somebody has it sorted by newest. And so you see a frantic tweet the very moment it comes in, which is kind of the first way to approach urgency is, you know, if somebody is just absolutely crazed, they might send a tweet to say, I sent you an email and or I have this question and, or call me. so that's the first step. And we had found that it was a lot trickier with email. You know, people will write urgent or they'll write in all caps or something, but sometimes that gets lost in the pile. So what we just recently did, we have a support engineer, the senior developer Colin on our team spends about half his time working on tools for our team. So ways that we can make the customer happier or get back to them faster or get to know them better. So what he did, he's brilliant. We added a piece on the contact form that says like, what's your level of urgency right now? So people can say like, oh, this is just an FYI. Like you don't even have to respond. Like just thought you would know that there's like a typo right here or something, up to, yeah, I'm just trying to get an answer as fast as possible up to this is an emergency. And we found, I mean, it was an experiment. We thought that there was a chance that everyone would choose emergency, but in general, people are totally rational and they know not to say that when they don't mean it. And we really haven't seen any abuse of that. Emergencies tend to be emergencies. So, we get notified whenever somebody sends in a question that's an emergency and it comes up in our HipChat room. And, that's been super useful. And we have notice that we are able to resolve those a little bit faster than the average ticket. So that's been a good help. I'd love to get to the point where they don't have to do that in order to rise to the top. I mean, in an ideal situation, they just get an answer right back no matter what. But in the meantime, from that dream world to kind of what we're always at trying to get there, that's been a cool hack that we've tried in the meantime.
Well, I think that's cool too, because a lot of times people don't mind waiting to hear back, but what they don't like is not knowing when they'll hear back. Mm-hmm. So if they know they've put in this is not urgent, then they're not going to be sitting there clicking refresh or something like that.
Definitely.
Yeah. It's more about just knowing that they'll get back to you.
Definitely. Yeah, it's such an interesting observation of the tone that people use when they write in to email versus like live chat, for example. Like when people write into live chat, even if it's an emergency, people are so much calmer because they know that you're there. They know that you're their person and you're going to work through it and they don't have to be crazed. Whereas with email, it's a little bit of this, like, I'm sending this off into the ether. I don't really know if it's going to be, you know, if you've never interacted with a brand before and it doesn't specifically tell you, you don't know, is it going to be 20 minutes or 20 hours or 20 days? Yeah, that's been, I think the next step for us is hopefully trying to figure out how to say, you know, this is when we'll get back to you, or this is when we think we can get back to you. The reason that's tough right now is because the times change so much depending on which time zone and how many heroes are online and that kind of thing. So we haven't figured that out quite yet. But if you want to really drool at a support forum, go look at 37 Signals, Basecamp. There's always says like, we'll get back to you in about 1 minute. It's amazing. If you want to have like support drool, seriously, that's the place to look. So we're not at that point or anywhere near, but, little changes like that can hopefully alleviate some of that anxiety and make it more of a conversation and less of a, I'm sending off this request and then, you know, I'm going to get a confirmation in 2 days that, you know, my, you know, thank you customer number 624.
So you guys are kind of the liaisons between the development team and your customers. How, can you speak a little bit about the process you guys take when you guys are getting the same complaints or suggestions over and over again? What does that look like inside Buffer?
Definitely. Yeah, so we are the liaisons. Our developers often get in touch with customers also, especially the mobile developers both have a Facebook group for the beta. So our developers are generally in contact anyway. And usually after they do a development or if we do a big launch, everybody will be in Twitter and they'll just be making sure that people understand and are happy. And so there's that. But, you know, the other 97% of the time or maybe higher, obviously we just get the majority of the conversations and the touch points. That was probably the most interesting thing that we had to change when we grew from a team of, about a year ago, we were a team of two, and now we're a team of eight. So yeah, it's when it's not all one person, you can't just do it based on what's in your brain and what you know you've answered a lot.
Right.
so we use Trello, which has been super, super useful for us in this way. So we use Trello for bugs. And we have a slightly different system for signals, but so for bugs, every single bug that we get a report of gets reported, which is really an essential piece of it, is that you can't only do it when it starts to bubble to the top, because with eight people, everybody could have heard it twice, but that doesn't bubble up to the top yet. But if it's, you know, 16 times, then it actually does. So everybody reports every bug that we've heard. And if it's already been reported, then it's just a comment on that card. And Trello does this really cool thing of sort of aging cards. So if a card is getting a lot of attention and a lot of activity, then it will be in bright color. Whereas the ones that aren't as big and aren't really getting commented on, they sort of fade a little bit. And if you want, you can even have that be in the pirate theme. It like starts to look like a scroll. So we use that a lot. We have sort of, everybody does it, but one person in particular, Adam, sort of owns that, so that if somebody says, you know, share box not working, and somebody says box to post not working, then, recognizes that those are the same thing and combines them. And so he sort of determines every week what are the top priorities are for bugs. So, you know, this one got reported 24 times, but it's not as essential because it's just an FYI, where like it's annoying people, but they can still get around it. Whereas this bug was reported 6 times, but it's a complete blocker and nobody can work when they see it. So he sort of makes that call, and obviously with the input of the whole team. And then we just report that to the product team every week. And I'm super lucky that Brian, our product manager, really craves that information and seeks that out, and often will make product decisions based on the feedback. So that's bugs. And signals is a little bit slipperier because it's just not as cut and dry necessarily. You know, somebody could know that scheduling is confusing, but they don't exactly know why.
Sure.
So we mostly do that through Help Scout because that's the we send about twice as many emails as we do tweets, so that's still our primary tool. So we just tag everything. If you look in our Help Scout room, it's like a big colorful blob of tags because we'll say this is on Android and it's about posting and, you know, it's this or that. And so we have another person, Orsa, who sort of manages that, and she says every week to Brian, this is, you know, the thing that's coming up for whatever reason. It just seems to be that, you know, the fact that feeds doesn't confirm when you've added it, it just puts it at the bottom of the list that people are adding it twice, and, you know, just like little things like that. Anything that's causing our customers to get confused or frustrated or feel like they're wasting their time or spinning their wheels, that's the kind of thing that she looks at. And, you know, we love serving our customers, but at the end of the day, it's better for them if they don't have to reach out to us at all and they just can go on with their day because it worked. So we try and solve those little things as fast as possible. Obviously, you know, it depends on priorities, but we try very hard not to necessarily say like, oh, well, let me put this in an FAQ or into a large support forum so that you can find the answer yourself. Like, it's better if we just fix it.
Which no one ever really searches through.
Right.
Honestly.
Yeah, that's kind of what we decided is like, I don't know that I've ever seen that done really super well.
No.
So I know that there's a lot of companies that try and that just don't have the resources to just continue scaling and growing the team as opposed to, you know, putting answers up on FAQ and things like that. But we just couldn't get excited about customers having to like search and click around and read five things before they determine whether or not their problem has been solved. So, we try and hear those and fix them as much as possible.
Something that we've done with our product, I've always hated FAQs too. But we used
to my own heart.
We used Help Scout Docs to set up a page, and the only FAQ articles or whatever you would call them that we put in are explanations of things in the interface. So let's say we show a certain metric, we'll underline the metric name and have it link out to this page that explains how it's calculated or what's factored in, what's not.
That's cool.
So far that's cut back our support load a ton. And when people do ask the question, we can say that we, you know, wrote up this explanation of how monthly recurring revenue is calculated and direct them to it, because we were writing that up every single time, probably at least a handful of times every week. And it would take a good, you know, 20, 30 minutes to write it out.
Sure.
So that's worked well for us, but we don't do anything else in terms of FAQs.
That's a great point. Yeah, we have some tool tips in the app. So Brian's really good at determining like when people aren't sure, they often will just hover over the button. And so sometimes it'll pop up and say like, here's what you're about to do, and this is what this means. And that's been helpful. And one other thing that he sort of envisioned, which has been super successful, is sometimes when it's a lack of something. So it's not that they're saying, what does this bug do? But they're saying, do you support Google Plus profiles? That's kind of hard. Like, where do you put that in the application, right? Like, that's an FAQ type thing. So what he did was he has it on the page where you would look to do that. So like, if your question is, I think I want to add my Google Plus profile, then you would go to the page where you add profiles, and Google Plus profile is there, but it's grayed out. And if you click it, it says like, I'm sorry, we don't have access to the API, but like, we love to let you know if someday we do. And so that really helped. I mean, we were getting that question multiple times a day, and allowing people to kind of say, oh, okay, you know, I don't have to write in about that, because it's not just completely missing. It's there. It just explains that it's not actually there. That's been great. And also the added bonus of that is that people then put their email address to get notified, which simplifies it a lot when we do have it. And it also helps us prioritize, because if there's two different things, you know, LinkedIn company pages and Google Plus company pages, like which one do people ask for more? So that was a great learning for us as well. So yeah, there's definitely ways. I mean, yeah, ideally if the customer never has, that's better. So yeah, for those types of things in the app, I think that's really clever if you can figure out ways to do that.
Very cool. So Carolyn, tell us where we can keep up with you and Buffer online.
Sure. So Buffer is just at Buffer on Twitter. And we have a very lively blog. We have two blogs. So one social media blog, which is kind of all about everything we've learned from research and things that our customers have uncovered and data. And so that's just blog.bufferapp.com. And then we also have an open blog, which is more about kind of it's just living the value of transparency, which is, you know, every number that we have, we all share. So it's our revenue and how we're doing in support and what our engineering team is dealing with. And, you know, we actually publish our revenue and our salaries and all those things. So everything about the company, if you're interested in kind of learning what we've learned through the years, what we've sometimes not always gotten right and then learned from, we try and share that as much as possible. So that's on the open blog for Buffer. And I am Carol Kopp on Twitter.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks so much. You asked some really good questions. You kind of got my wheels turning a little bit about some of these topics. I think that's the right thing. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Rocket Ship Podcast. If you haven't yet, pop open iTunes and subscribe to be notified of future episodes. We have some really great ones lined up.
And while you're there, leave us a review. We really appreciate each and every one of them. Here come bad news, talking this and that. Yeah. Give me all you got and don't hold me back. Yeah. Well, I should probably warn you, I'll be just fine. Yeah. No offense to you, who don't waste your time.
What? what you want.